a once-in-a-lifetime encounter that we have been waiting for so long. Oh, my God. And I'm not talking about the main event. I'm talking about the meeting between Aleister Black and the Velveteen Dream. We also have, and we got a championship match that's coming in a couple of weeks. The state of NXT. We're going to talk about it all right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV super fan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Ooh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Velveteen Dream Experience right here on AfterBuzz TV. It's the NXT After Show. We got your NXT team here. I'm one of your hosts, the internet's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. While we're getting down to the Velveteen Dream, you can take a look at this, quote, gentleman to my left.
Quote, whoa. Gentleman.
Yeah. Quote. He's the quote gentleman.
Shade cast and received.
Call me Shave Cassidy.
Hey, it's the hobo.
Yeah. Can I call you, Dick the Dick Hammer?
Yeah.
No, that was somebody else.
Yeah.
I think I saw them
finally. No, it was Dick the Hammer Dick.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Dick. Rich, yeah. Richardson.
Yeah. Well, no, Richard.
Richard.
Yeah. Not Dick Dixon.
I always wanted to change my name to James. Yeah.
That's the hobo. You can follow him at True Hobo.
At True Hobo.
Triple J.
I mean, better than...
You don't have enough hands.
Better than Double J.
What's up, everybody? This is Cuba getting the third.
Hey, it's Bill Hanstock.
Hey.
He's at Sundown Motel.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not going to do the...
That's where I'm at.
Yep. And you know where we're at?
You know where we're at? Some real good energy.
A weird place.
Guys.
Hey. Y'all.
Get ready, because you're about to have your minds blown by how canceled we're going to be.
Bros,
we've never been this canceled before.
Dudes.
I mean, we've never seen an encounter like the one we saw tonight have the entire audience in an uproar.
Yo,
I mean, okay. And you know Aleister Black wouldn't say no, right?
Well, no, he just has to take it.
He wouldn't say no.
He would just be there.
I mean, live as thou would. As the saying goes.
We're gonna be talking...
As Anton LaVey would say, do as thou wilt. Shall be the whole of the law.
Yes.
And now I'm not telling tales out of school, ladies and gentlemen, to say that the Church of Satanism is widely accepted among churchgoers.
Well, I was going to say whole is spelled H-O-L-E. We're going to get to that, but first, we're going to be talking about so much of that segment in its entirety.
We'll get to it.
Probably longer than the segment was. Yeah. Let's start... Well, the show started with Johnny Gargano coming out, and I was like, oh, he's going to fight the other one. And like, really? Yeah.
That's the rule.
Tino Sabatelli.
What was great was when you said the other one, the last match I remembered Johnny Gargano having was against Cian Almas.
So versus Zelina.
I did too for a second.
I was like, what are you talking? What is this bad? What's happening?
I think she's taller than he is, so I think it's illegal.
You think that's
the heels. It's the heels.
All right, I know.
You think someone's taller than Johnny Gargano?
I mean,
he's three apples high.
Riddick Moss said it backstage. The only thing little is Johnny Gargano.
Smoked three apples worth backstage. We were discussing before.
Oh, sure. Let's talk about it.
About whether you could make a ham into a pipe.
Yep.
For a smoking pipe.
Ham pipe.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Put a little bit of tobacco in there. Yes. Perfectly legal tobacco.
Ham radio? Ham pipe.
Ham pipe.
Well, no, a ham radio is where you just core a ham bone and you just start singing through it like it's a megaphone.
I thought you were going to say you just jam some bunny ears.
Well, no, it's like...
Yeah.
It's like a ham jam.
Well, it's... No, a ham jam would be, you know how people sometimes stick their phones into red cups to make them louder? Just put them in ham.
A ham jam is the finishing move of Hamdy the Ham Robinson from the wrestler Ham.
Oh, we're already canceled. Thanks, PW Gregory. We're already canceled.
Ham jam.
Ham jam.
It's a ham jam. Hammy the Ham Hammerson?
Ham and Ham.
Yeah.
My favorite. He's a little salty, but he's pretty sweet.
Now, something that I was surprised about is Riddick Moss and Johnny Gargano, they had a hell of a match last week. We saw a lot more from Riddick Moss than we had seen kind of ever. And when it comes to Tino Sabatelli, we've seen him, I forgot it again, breaking ground.
Yep.
We saw a lot of him in there and him coming up and learning the ins and outs. But just with how, despite how little they've been on TV, he's still so cocky. He still has all of this confidence, but nothing really to back it up. I guess, I mean, they have money.
He wrestles like a man who drives Maserati.
Which he does.
He does. I mean, he's all show. Everything about him is, meticulously groomed. I mean, he had
all show
Johnny Gargano's number for a good portion of this matchup.
That's even arguably. Anytime he got a little bit of an upper hand, it was like, yeah, and then Johnny Gargano would come right back. It was such a big deal to Johnny Gargano that he put Riddick Moss in the Gargano Escape and he broke out of it. Whereas we didn't see any of that reticence from Johnny this time. He felt confident enough against Tino Sabatella to be like, that thing that didn't work last time that shook me real hard, yeah, I'll try it again. This was a very bizarre match. A lot shorter than last week's was. One segment.
It was.
I don't understand why 100% of this conversation isn't the backstage promo from Riddick Moss.
which we got after that.
Right.
Or which we got before that after last week's match.
Right.
But it was so... Ron Corleone in chat. Tino feels more like Ted DiBiase Jr. than Ted DiBiase Jr. ever did.
That is true. Is true. That is very astute.
Because Million Dollar Man, character.
Ted DiBiase.
Ted DiBiase, real person.
Enormous head.
Yes, large head.
Huh.
He's got a large head.
Show you a picture later of me next to Ted DiBiase's head.
Yeah.
The rest of them wouldn't fit in the picture.
Bill for scale.
I went to Easter Island for vacation.
Bumped into Ted DiBiase.
Jesus!
But Johnny Gargano gets the win over Sabatelli and Moss. He beat a tag team by himself. What do we see next for this?
Because you know why? Do it yourself.
This is the first time
this is the first time he's ever done it. Himself.
Taking DIY to heart.
Hashtag DI me.
Dim.
Yeah.
No, it me.
That spells dim? I don't think he wants it.
Dime. Yeah.
Dime.
D-I
me.
Sure. I guess.
Well, I mean.
Die me.
And he dropped the dime on Tino Sabatelli, and he sent him back to the ab store or wherever the hell.
That's where that's his day job.
Yeah.
he and Moss are we're gonna Hashtag Dime, do it me.
Hashtag DI me, do it me.
Do it me.
It's Dime.
Do it me.
Dimelo.
Dime.
And then after this, we got. I like now when we catch Regal in his office, he's talking to the camera crew, just ready for somebody to come in, telling him just old stories.
And he's just popping a squat on his desk?
Yeah, he's just hanging out. Just like, it's gotten to the point where he's like, I know I'm in my office, someone's going to come in, I'm just going to have the camera crew.
Yeah, the camera's just rolling, and like, he just cuts to Regal, he's like, and the doctor tells me I'm horrifyingly gaunt. Oh, there's someone in my office.
Oh, hello.
Hello. And it's Roddy. Roddy Strong.
Hey, Will.
Hey, okay. This was fine.
Yeah.
This was the best we've ever seen.
Well, actually, I would go even further than that. This is the most sense that a wrestling promo has made.
In a long time.
In a while. Right. Because it's, hey, I fought my ass off. Despite losing a couple of things, I ended up beating the former NXT champion, and I went face-to-face with the current NXT champion. I feel like I've earned a championship opportunity. You know what?
I beat a guy, then I looked at a guy.
And I told him, hey, guy.
Guy.
I didn't know he was Canadian. But he's like, hey, I feel like I've earned a championship opportunity. You know what? I agree. So in 2 weeks, you're going to get a championship opportunity. Thanks. And that was it.
Next week, I'm throwing you into a garbage dump.
And you have to fight your way out of that.
Yeah.
But
beware of Han Tan the Rat King.
Oh, man. So, yeah.
He lives at the dump.
I remember that gimmick. Very over in England.
Yeah. It's the original Manny Lemons.
Yeah, his finishing move, the plague.
You know,
it's not an instant finish. It just like he hits it at the beginning of the match, and it slowly takes its toll over the course of the match.
You know how you beat him?
Huh?
Sinking ship.
Oh, I thought you just put roses in your pocket. So yeah, saw a solid promo.
You stuff a bird mask full of roses.
Exactly. PW Gregory, you don't get it if you don't ask for it, and he asked. Simple. It works.
Yeah.
It's you never. That's a lesson for the kids at home. If you want something, ask for it. The worst thing that'll happen is they'll tell you no.
Closed mouths don't get fed.
Yeah. So don't look a gift horse. The next thing we got for some, we keep being reminded.
No, I'm with you. 100%.
Yeah, you 100%.
Don't. You don't.
Don't look. Don't look at a gift horse. Yep.
You don't look one.
You don't look one.
Don't.
I saw that and I'm excited.
Yeah.
That actually should be on the soundboard. Check Zach's board. He might have it there. Anyway.
It's good radio.
We keep shout out to our podcast listeners who still don't leave us comments. Leave us comments. Reviews on iTunes. 5 stars. If you're nasty, the other stars don't work.
Give us 5 stars on YouTube, too. Figure out a way to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Five thumbs up. Yeah. Just go thumb up, thumb down, thumb... Wait, no, don't do that.
Our algorithm!
Exactly.
But our activity is off the charts.
Yeah. Engagement.
Engagement, that's the word. We get another look at Asuka's send-off, but somebody who has never fought Asuka, Sonya Deville, talks about how that if she stood on the other side of the ring with her, there would be no streak, and she would have the NXT Women's Championship. She's right, or she has a point.
She's not necessarily
right, but she has a point.
In theory, she may be correct. She never faced Asuka, therefore Asuka never had a chance to lose to her. But also, the inverse is true. She never had a chance to lose to Asuka. So you really have to look at it from both angles if you're us. If you're her, sure. You've got all the confidence in the world and you go, I was the one who could beat Asuka, and now she's gone. So what's going to happen now?
If it had been me, the only streak would be the one running down Asuka's leg.
Well, I still think that there's time.
She peed herself out of fear.
It's gross, Bill. Terrible. It's gross.
This
is the double standard because that's every promo the Road Warriors have ever done.
Yeah.
But a lady can't do it, apparently.
That was almost,
kick your stinking teeth down your throat. Booger head.
I'm actually...
Their teeth stink.
I'm looking forward to Asuka versus Sonya at some point.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good
show. Some point down the road.
I hope it happens one day.
Okay. Speaking of something that I thought was going to happen one day and happened tonight, Lacey Evans versus Bianca Belair. Hobo and I went down to San Diego a couple months ago when NXT was in town. And I was like, they were in a tag match against each other. I was like, no. That's the future. That's it. I can't wait for them to go one-on-one.
And the future is now.
Oh,
that's NXT's motto. Future has arrived.
This was
Mike Quackenbush is filing lawsuit somewhere.
Them too? Dear God.
This was a heavy hitting matchup. Every single tie up was just like trying to rip each other's arms up.
The tie ups were great. This is like the best tie ups I've seen in years.
Yeah,
I mean, love this match.
Collars and elbows.
What? Thanks, Al Snow.
Two of them.
These girls meant it. They meant everything that happened. I think Bianca Belair, she had an answer to Lacey Evans at every point. Mm-hmm. She is arguably stronger than Lacey Evans. She's more agile. Much longer.
Oh?
It's a weapon. I mean, we were talking about the rules and how they apply to the use of a hair in the way that Belair used it as a whip. I mean, took skin off. I mean, flayed off the bone.
The only rule about hair in the rule book is that you can't pull the other person's hair. There's nothing about pulling your own hair.
You're also not allowed to use your hair to choke somebody else.
When was that?
It's because chokes aren't legal at all.
Right. But it counts. Mm-hmm. Like, you can arguably put a chokehold on with your arm, but you can't choke somebody with your hair. Mm-hmm. That's not legal.
Mm-hmm. We also can't choke someone with your hands.
Right, not with your hands, but if you get them into it. Like, the Kaja Hajime is a choke. That counts. That's legal.
But you have to say it like Joey Styles.
When I was growing up, as Jesse Ventura and Bobby Heenan, rest in peace, would often point out, there used to be a very strict distinction between a choke and a sleeper hold or a chin lock. Chin lock, you had to put the lock on the chin. You couldn't obstruct the windpipe.
It has to do with the the way the pressure is applied. One is applied directly to the windpipe and causes the constriction of airflow.
So chin lock's up against the chin.
Well, it's the chin, but it's also causing constriction on the sides. This constricts blood flow to the brain and will cause you to pass out.
Jugular.
Right. So that's this versus this.
Yeah.
And you have to know the difference if you're wrestling.
Because back when Jesse Ventura and Bobby the Brain Heenan were calling wrestling, MMA wasn't a thing. Yeah. Nobody knew what a rear naked choke was. Very few people knew about judo and Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So it wasn't even a concern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, he's studied the ancient art of sleeper hold.
Yeah. No, it was one move. You went to a gym or a dojo to learn one move, and each dojo had its own move.
Yeah.
And that's where you went to master that particular hold.
Like, Ted DiBiase, referred to earlier, he bought the secrets to the Million Dollar Dream.
Yeah.
Which applied pressure to the side of the neck. And also use the gentleman's own arm.
Right. It causes pressure on the shoulder as well as both sides of the neck itself. And that's
because of blood flow.
A lot of pressure on that shoulder, though. That would really throw that right up.
I just realized they could have had a whole storyline about how Million Dollar Man bought... Okay, I'm making this canon now.
Let's do it.
What happened was Million Dollar Man bought the rights to the Cobra Clutch from Sergeant Slaughter. And Sergeant Slaughter was in such arrears after blowing all of his money that he had to go to Iraq to fund himself after that. And that's why...
That's how he came back.
He became a turncoat because he was in dire straits and this is the only way to get back in the... Black? Red?
Black.
I knew that.
Yeah.
And he had to... Because then he could only afford the camel clutch after that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
The conversion rate, not that great.
Yeah.
Well, because he couldn't use... Because Million Dollar... He would have wound up on the wrong end of a lawsuit if he had tried to use the Cobra Clutch, because the Million Dollar Man's there. He bought the rights to that move fair and square.
He's got all the lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All of them.
Virgil. Jose Quinde, I would go to the Dojo of the Hobo. What would you teach?
Smell.
You can't...
Smell is something you learn yourself.
That. Smell foo.
Yeah. No, I teach you how to bite and bite properly. See, there's a way to do it. You can't... So, finger, for instance. You can't bite through the bone necessarily, but there's a particular way you can bite down hard enough, and as you hit the arm away like I do, it strips the skin off of the bone, much like a wire stripper.
Hey, don't give this away for free.
Horrible.
Well, it's a little hard to train to do. So I'm trying to teach them how.
That just means lessons cost more.
Yes.
Where you know, baby.
Thanks, Dad.
Where you know.
Finger, for instance. I right before I started talking about biting, I came up with pugitsu.
You know, that's pretty good.
Hold on. Okay. Hard stuff.
Finger, for instance.
Damn it.
Sorry.
Hard stop. Let's talk about Lacey Evans versus Bianca Belair.
Okay. Yeah. Because
I think
this is what we were talking about.
Somehow we got a little off topic.
The long and winding road will lead us back to this match. This is exciting.
We need to stop. But this match, I think, is something that we're going to be seeing. I still think it's something that we're going to be seeing at a takeover next year, perhaps. At WrestleMania.
When they're both on the main roster.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they'll fast track them up to the main. I mean, both of these women, I feel they can go up.
I think they're better as a tag team, personally. I think they have,
but they're too, like, it would have to be a sort of a thing where it's like how Sheamus and Cesaro
started.
You're
from two different worlds.
One family. Yeah. So, you know. You have
to
do it. As Phil Collins came before you.
He certainly did.
Yeah. Anyway, this was an awesome match. Bianca Belair got a reverse powerbomb for the win. What do we think about that? For a finish. Especially if it's a power thing, that's more of
She should be using the 450.
It's a very old school women's wrestling move. I forget the name of the woman in particular who came
Rock and
up
Robin.
With that. Don't, I mean, possibly.
Jumping Bomb Angels.
No. But yeah, I don't think it fits. I think it should be a power move. She's got so much power in that
double power
base
bomb.
Of hers.
I hate the double powerbomb.
Okay, never mind then.
I mean, sure, I hate the double powerbomb.
Right.
Your thoughts on the double powerbomb?
I mean, kind of cool if you can manage it, but still not. One's enough, really. Mm. If you can't put them away with one, two, really, what's the point?
I think, everyone's finisher should be the Falcon Arrow. But if she wants to
Superplex Falcon Arrow.
Yes, as I was about to say.
Oh.
Seth Rollins is Superplex rolled into a Falcon Arrow. Like, that should definitely be a finisher.
Yeah. Not a transitional move.
Makes me upset that it isn't. I mean, if you ever hear random screaming outside when you're watching a Seth Rollins match,
no!
It's me yelling at the damn Superplex Falcon Arrow.
Yep.
All right? There's no... you know what? Moving on!
Okay, who has a better Northern Lights suplex? Alicia Fox or Jason Jordan?
I want to say Alicia Fox. Believe it or not,
Alicia Fox.
So good.
Alicia Fox.
Yeah. Because of the toes. It's yeah. all in the toes.
Her form is perfect.
Yeah.
But I love watching both of them. Mm. Northern Lights is my favorite mode of suplex. And how early Jason Jordan gets over, like, with the suplex is crazy. Like, yeah. he's already in a perfect bridge, like, by the time they hit the ground.
He's been training since he was literally a child to do that.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's able to do it to everybody is astonishing, but not overly astonishing. It's like watching Jackie Chan. He's been training his entire life to be this good. Well, then he better be this good.
Well, once Jason Jordan does a Northern Lights suplex through the middle of a ladder, I'll be...
Wait for it.
Ron Corleone agrees. Alicia Fox also says at least her finisher isn't a spear, a super kick, or some version of a Shining Wizard.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move
on. And also, at least she's the beautiful Alicia Fox.
All right. Now,
I can't believe people watch this show.
Here's what the rest of the show is going to be about.
Yeah.
Aleister Black.
Yeah.
Talks about how 15 years ago he started a journey that led me to that led him to NXT, and his journey is far from done. And he knows what he needs to do. Velveteen Dream hits the ring. I've been waiting for this moment all of my damn life, all of it. Before I even knew that these two men were wrestling.
You dreamed about it, but now you get to put a name and a face to those. Bodies.
And it's soft as velveteen. These bodies. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. This is amazing.
I think it's great, but also it's too much. I can't handle it.
There's so much. Dude, there's more sexual tension than Pam and Jim. Season 1, 2, 3 of Office.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Dream had some good lines in here. Everything that fades to black must come into the light. You walked 15 years through the darkness just to be blinded by the light of the dream. He doesn't see it. He doesn't see the appeal. Where are your scars? All I see is a man who's hurt.
Yep.
I see a man in pain. Alistair was talking about his heart and how he put it in his throat. It's like, I know you have a heart. It's just in the wrong place. Which is just, like, an observation,
yeah.
But that's what sends Alistair off?
It's deeper than
now, he
that.
Told him he was afraid.
That's well, yeah.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, fear is your issue.
Oh. So good. So last week I said that I would reserve judgment until I could make sure that they weren't just doing a gay panic angle, and they're not.
Nope.
So it's very exciting, and I'm super into it, and I hope that by, like, 3 or 4 weeks from now, they're tenderly, passionately kissing.
It was so close tonight. It was
the audience.
Dude, they had the audience. God. So, Alistair sitting down and then Dream getting right all down on all fours and creeping up to him. Gets right up in his face and everybody went, is he gonna kiss him?
Like, it was a... This music is amazing. But it was a primordial... squeal from the assembled Full Sail crowd.
This was for Tumblr.
Because half of them were like sheer delight. Mm-hmm. The other half sheer terror because they weren't ready for what this was telling their bodies.
These are the two biggest personalities in NXT.
Far. Bar none.
And having them this close to contact is just creating a ripple effect.
Can't believe you could say that when Roderick Strong was on the show earlier.
We're not.
Oh, sorry. We're on the next segment. Sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
We're let's stay in the moment.
Let's stay in the moment.
Just a little
stay
longer.
In this moment.
Yeah.
I want to forever.
Please.
No. Something that I would actually. I think I can. No. Yeah. I can do it. I'm gonna take that moment because I'm sure it's gonna be on WWE.com, and I'm gonna take it. I'm gonna put it in reverse. So he just.
Yep.
He slides right up to Aleister
into his DMs.
His
devil mouth.
Yeah.
Marionette. Haven't seen something like this since the 90s.
And I think that's perfect. Because
yeah.
it's not...
She's talking about an episode of Friends, right?
Probably. Yes. Yeah. It's
no,
not...
it's the episode of Friends where Freddie Prinze Jr. is trying to be their nanny, but Ross is just like, but he's a boy, he's a guy. It's weird.
Ross is the worst.
Ross is the worst.
I hate him.
The worst.
Also, pivot. Pivot.
Pivot. Yo. This...
Ross, yo, Ross.
This segment.
Yeah.
Had everything.
Crop tops, suits, tattoos.
New York's hottest club is Velveteen Dream.
Yeah.
Gobos.
Yeah, gobos. It was a sweet gobo on Aleister.
We were going bonanas.
Cesar Bonani was not on this episode.
Oh, my
fair.
Bad. My bad.
The Bonanorama! But he wasn't on this episode,
no,
so we can't
no,
talk
why,
about
yeah,
that.
Like Bray Wyatt's brother being teased on a playground. Bonani!
So, like you said, Hobo, these are the two biggest personalities with the two biggest intrigue. Every single time either one of these gentlemen are on screen, it's just like, what are they going to do next? And we've been getting the teasing from... We've been getting the teasing from Velveteen Dream ever since he first showed up. But... especially, but again, shout out to our iTunes listeners. But especially with these past couple of weeks where he's like, I've had my eye on something. He has a plan. There is something in mind. Even though he got kicked so hard in the face, he was still like, mm-mm.
I think it was the hand. He didn't get,
he didn't get
in the face tonight. He got it right in the hand.
To knock the microphone
close.
Out.
So the
hand,
sending
the
a message.
The hand is the face of the arm, so.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean...
Does all the emoting?
I've seen it has a mouth sometimes.
Yeah, it's not right. Mitch Canner.
So, and then Aleister. Both of these gentlemen have a plan of some sort. Aleister's probably didn't have anything to do with the Velveteen Dream, but we saw his revolve when it came to like a 3-week setup of a match with Hideo Itami. And just the disrespect that Itami was giving him. And Dream, I don't think he's crossed the line as far as Itami yet, but I wonder how far he's going to try to get into the head of Aleister Black.
He's going to try real hard. Real far. And real deep.
I don't think it's going to take that long. Honestly, because it comes down to, I think, the idea of respect and who is... deserving of what, because the Dream has not been around as long as Aleister Black. Mm. Aleister Black's saying he's been around for 15 years. The man is maybe 32, 33. He has spent more than half his life pursuing this and becoming the best he possibly can. And here comes this cocky, very, very off-the-wall character to sort of get in his space and disrupt his plan. I don't think it's going to take a whole lot of prodding for Aleister Black to rear up and find a very big problem with what Velveteen Dream is trying to do. He's trying to make a point off of Aleister Black.
And a point off of his way of life and how he's carried himself over these past 15 years. And the fact that it's Dream that's getting into the personal space, so I would say in terms of like Aleister's life and what he as a person and an entity and his tattoos and his entire story means is not as expected. Like I thought, like as you said last week, it's not a gay panic thing. It's more of, hey, person who deserves to be in this ring, I'm in here sort of for the very first time, spilling my heart and telling my story, and you're disrespecting me by just being out here, because this is my time, I scheduled this time, and you're out here disrespecting me.
It doesn't have anything to do with the views of the characters in question. It has to do with the characters themselves and their drives and motivations. Mm-hmm. I think that's far more powerful than it being, you like guys and I don't like you.
And that's not even, and even that hasn't even come into the question.
No, and I don't think it will. It has nothing to do with anything, but it's what those guys are. It's not who they are.
Yeah. And also that's the thing, you could make this work for either person, but Velveteen Dream is, he strikes me as a person that isn't a type. He's literally an emotion, a force of nature, he is sex.
Mm-hmm. He's Dionysus.
Yeah. Velveteen Dream is sex incarnate.
Yeah.
And it just manifests as this person in the middle of the ring.
And I can see why.
And and it's engaging.
Yeah.
I've loved Dream ever since he was just Patrick Clark, but now that he's this, like, ah!
And he's this thing. I mean, he's it.
Yeah. Mm.
I have a feeling, though, that this is not going to end spectacularly well for the Dream.
Probably not. But getting a chance to see Dream work live with Drew McIntyre, like, if the takeover match that's going to happen between these two, and I really hope it's a takeover match. I don't want it to be just an NXT match. It's Aleister Black has been super consistent. Dream hasn't had an opportunity on TV to be at that level. And for all of the people who still may be like, on Dream, this is going to be the one this is going to be the thing that sells people on the Velveteen Dream.
The best part of this whole thing is the fact that you don't have to have wrestling match after wrestling match between these two guys, because they are such real characters and there's so much to play off of. You can have them do backstage segments. You can have them do in-ring segments that are just them, that set a tone for who they are, and have them just sort of clash without ever really coming to blows.
And that gives me an idea. Dream has been talking about finding the right time, the right place. What if during an Aleister Black entrance, the lighting is perfect, there's candles, and he just comes out and starts like setting stuff up in the ring for like an in-ring interview segment. It's like, what the hell? No. It's keep the lighting, and just like it in the time when Aleister's like trying to get into the mode and be super calm and collected, and just under his skin.
Yeah, I can see that. Him, Dream, just looking at all the candles and all the dark lighting.
And the smoke.
You're just a romantic.
Dude, we got a little bit of time left.
That was the end of the show, right?
Let's go home.
No, we gotta speed through this.
Folks, if the Dream keeps making advances at Aleister Black, he just might find himself French kissing Beelzebub. He's in league with Satan, ladies and gentlemen.
So we got to look back at the Lars and Jose feud, because that match is next. But before that match, we got a look at Dakota Kai. She was talking about how they know that she's not one to be taken lightly. She's ready to kick heads in to make the NXT
Women's captain of Team Kick.
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 Kick. Kick.
Yeah.
On
Nair.
Hey.
This is verbatim.
She's a very thick New Zealand accent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. I'm not used to seeing her like this. I don't know. It's kind of brooding. As brooding as she can get.
She's in a black room?
Yeah.
And not really colorful attire. Like, she's wearing like black, white, and silver.
She should have had like a rainbow backdrop.
Yeah.
Like the old school green screen 80s stuff with like their logo on it. Stuff like that. No Way Jose versus Lars Sullivan. The interesting thing that I found out about this was No Way Jose was trying to be the speedster. He was trying to go at him.
Crossbody.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Like just running at him with everything that he had, but Lars was...
And then Lars Sullivan showed off his high flying, by which I mean his plummeting from a height.
Yeah, right. He flew, but it was more falling with style.
Yeah, the Buzz Lightyear of NXT.
It's like the
Lars attacks!
The opening credits of The Great Muppet Caper, where they're in the hot air balloon, and Fozzie says, we should try this without the balloon sometime. And Kermit says, what, plummeting?
Maria Annette says, Dream and Gold, this tag team, Velveteen Gold.
I don't think...
Who? Marie and Dream?
Marionette.
Oh, says what?
Says Dream and Goldust is a tag team. Velveteen Gold.
No.
Yeah, no.
I can see them fighting each other for who's weirder and, like, the biggest, you know...
Androgyny
who,
off.
Who rubs their body the best?
Right.
It's a
who can kiss the closest without touching lips?
People think it's like a pose competition, but they're just oiling. They're just oiling each other up.
He'd be so slippery in his bodysuit.
But did anybody think that Jose had a chance?
No way.
Very good.
Not today.
Not with Lars. Yeah. What a monster.
Power pellet.
falling headbutt with like a spinebuster uranagi sort of thing.
Call it a cross body uranagi. Yeah. Usually uranagi goes up one shoulder. Mm-hmm. He's got him a whole half of his body and just spikes him.
What a terrifying human being!
Mm-hmm. What a creature!
What a specimen!
Yeah.
Literally a specimen.
What? We aren't sure, but quite the specimen.
All right, let's talk a little bit. Low-key, a dream tag team match.
I thought you were going to say low-key was on the show.
No, yeah. No.
Missed him.
The bald wrestlers.
He was in the audience wearing a suit and tie.
So Velveteen Dream was making an advance on Aleister Black, and low-key came out to make an advance on Velveteen Dream. I have seen you from a distance. Now you must face the way of the warrior.
That's why he's dressed up. He's just ready to take people on a date.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Consummate gentleman.
Yeah. low-key, a dream tag team match that were just like, hey. But well, it was on a .com special thing that they did at the end of last week's show where Mustache Man was like, "Hey, we're gonna fight you," and then they did.
Yep.
That was to you, and then to camera. Shout out to iTunes. But Mustache Mountain versus Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish.
This is a pretty big deal.
I was really sad that they put it on just a regular TV show because they didn't give it any. It didn't seem like there was a lot of time.
It was very good for while it lasted.
Yes.
Yeah. No. A lot of skill.
It didn't last very long.
So much skill in this match just between all four of the individuals. It was just funny to see that Trent Seven was the biggest guy in the ring, easily. It sort of speaks to just the balance of size to skill as far as the majority of people in the ring. A lot of these guys have trained to be the absolute deadliest strikers and hold-for-hold wrestlers that you could possibly find. And that being said, they're not terribly big, but they will take you apart.
Also,
dangerous.
Also, every single time that Tyler Bate is on television, you're reminded, like, oh, holy crap, Tyler Bate's amazing.
Yeah. He can do it all. Literally do it all.
Kip up, running gainer. Like,
strength and speed.
Yeah.
What are you giggling about over there?
Courteous Heus Forrest said, Lars Sullivan goes to the main roster and his gimmick gets changed to a rapper named Bars Sullivan.
Yes!
To which I responded, please.
That would be amazing.
Oh my god.
What a time to be alive.
And Braun Strowman can be his hype man.
Oh, yeah.
Put your hands together.
Barstool. Yeah, it'll work as good as B2.
Yeah. Party people in the house.
Say Braun! Sorry, Steve. any other highlights for this match? Because it was a lot of just boom, 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 but then it seemed to
Mustache
be...
Mustache Mountain's just so great.
Yeah.
And
more.
We couldn't see the super kick, really, from Adam Cole, because it's so dark on the outside of the ring, and he's wearing a black blazer. Mm. And
black pants.
Well, dark jeans of some sort.
But I really liked the variation of total elimination that Fish and O'Reilly are doing. It's very cool.
Yeah.
It's... So many teams have used a variation of total elimination that it's really refreshing when you see a variation on it that you haven't seen before. Mm. So it's like, oh, hey, they did it different.
It's so I think that way so that it can get everybody's attention and not just the people who go, oh, that's their finisher.
Right.
Then I mean, everybody goes, oh, that's their finisher.
I was a little surprised at how Mustache Mountain was able to bring it to Fish and O'Reilly. Mm-hmm. There were moments in this match where I went, I don't think these guys are going to win, but I dare say that they need a win over a strong tag team to cement themselves as not a pair to be trifled with.
Yeah.
And it was Adam Cole. They needed Adam Cole in order to get the win tonight. So it didn't make him look terribly strong. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I think they sort of look still kind of weak. Skilled, very skilled mm-hmm. tacticians, but they are not able to put it away without a third man.
So let's get through the rest of this. They hit total elimination for the win. Drew McIntyre comes out and makes the three of them run to the hills. Shout out Iron Maiden. And as they're like, "Now we're too smart for you," Sanity comes out and we got a big old brawl where they throw Kyle O'Reilly back into the ring to get his butt whipped. Does anybody see Mustache Mountain in the tag team title picture, or is it just O'Reilly and Fish and Sanity?
I don't see Mustache Mountain in the title picture at this point.
Okay.
No, I don't either. I mean, granted, they're not sure what they're doing with them, but I don't think they're going to be doing tag team work on the long term.
It's just it's yet another week in an endless streak of weeks where we ask what are they going to do with the UK guys and what are they going to do with the women. Got all these women. Keep signing more all the time.
Why can't I hold all these? Oh, well, anyway. Jesus. Yeah. I stopped when I could. Okay. But, it's... Again, like, this match should have been like, no, we're going to make this match because it's a great match. Not like, hey, you beat up our friend. Mm-hmm. Just make the match make it a big match.
A big match. Those guys you beat up, Wolfgang and Pete Dunne, we know those guys.
They're good guys. One of them?
No,
they're in a group with one of them.
With Mustache Mountain. Progress. With Mustache Mountain ends at, we know those guys.
We know those guys. Oh, you guys want to fight? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
what are you doing next week? Speaking of what we're doing next week, we're canceled. So, that'll do it.
No!
That happens every week. Thank you, everybody, who is joining us live. I saw a couple of new names here in chat. Make sure, if you're listening to this after the fact, we are live. She's stopping.
I'm just laughing at the one comment we're going to get this week. The guy's got a dumb voice.
But thank you so much. Make sure to watch us live. We are live at 6 p.m. right after NXT goes off the air on AfterBuzz TV. We're cool. So make sure...
We're cool.
You're really trying hard to convince them. We're cool.
Come on, we're cool.
Really,
guys.
He
says wearing a poser shirt.
We can Dougie.
I'll teach. And if not, I can teach you. Bill, what are you up to? Where can the folks find you?
You can find me on all social media at Sundown Motel.
Yeah?
And you can check out uprocks.com with spandex.com, uprocks.com/prowrestling. Today, we dropped episode 6 of McMansplaining with Spandex Podcast. It is a Mae Young Classic red carpet special. We have interviews with Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, Candice LeRae, Mercedes Martinez, Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Amora Ranallo. You know, just
the
your normal...
The list goes on.
Your normal amount of people on a podcast. So those are exclusive comments you can only find at McMansplaining, so go check it out.
Hello.
You can find me on Twitter at TrueHobo. Tomorrow I'll be wrestling at Wrestling Pro Wrestling. Brian Kendrick's Wrestling Pro Wrestling. And for the first time ever, I will have a singles match with Peter Avalon.
If you're anywhere near a computer, you can watch it.
Live on Twitch. It's Wrestling Pro Wrestling on Twitch TV. So enjoy that. That's happening.
Speaking of enjoyment, you should probably head over to the Popcorn Talk. Or if you're a purveyor of Twitch, head to Twitch.tv/InventoryFullPT. I'm about to go in and do a full story spoiler discussion on Destiny 2, which dropped a couple weeks ago. Now that there's been a sufficient amount of time to go through a lot of the content, we're going to be talking about it with the panel's people.
But you can give us all the spoilers right now, right? Just list them like one after.
I could, but it won't matter if you wouldn't know what the hell.
No,
I was going to
be great.
About.
Go for it.
Anyway, you can, make sure to follow that too. At InventoryFullPT.
Dies.
No. Shut up. People don't know that.
Is it voiced by a Shaq?
Oh, I wish.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Destiny 2.
Make sure to go to the Crucible, baby.
head over there. Follow me on Twitter, Marky Donica. Leave us comments down below. Watch X-Pac 12360 this week. We were remembering Bobby the Brain Heenan. We got some big guests coming up the next couple of weeks. But Bill's a part of that show.
I'm not.
Nope. And follow all of us at AfterBuzz TV. We got some big stuff coming. Make sure to go to nxteam.spreadshirt.com to pick up some of our merch. We got some new stuff coming soon. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you so much for watching this episode. Leave some comments down below. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later. Bye-bye.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.